Ta-ta. Now the patriarchy is dead, and we killed it. If you identify as a woman, femme, trans, or non-binary, CITR wants you on the air. You can talk about literally whatever you want as long as you care about it. No worries if you have no experience, we'll train you in everything you need to know. Come by CITR and say hi.
Hey.
Hi.
Hello.
From 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday to Friday to help us never play Led Zeppelin on CITR 101.9 FM ever again. I could be you.
Hey, have you ever been curious about the intersection between art and science? Then come check out Collisions Festival, an art science festival happening at Vivo Media Arts Center from November 8th to 10th. This year, we'll explore the theme of invasive systems through collaborative art science works. The festival will feature visual art, multimedia installations, and interactive experiences, including a robot arm that creates paintings. Student prices are available. That's November 8th to 10th at Vivo Media Arts Center. For tickets and more information, visit curiositycollider.com.
LGBTQ. Dave Radio, Fridays at noon on CITR.
Wow, wow, Dave, you're so sway. Oh, Dave, I like your shave.
And we're the Daves. I'm David Bedanek.
I'm Dave Campbell.
I'm Dave Frank.
We're the Daves.
And you're listening to CITR FM 101.9.
CITR Radio.
And these are the days of our lives. It is Friday, the 8th of November, 2019, and this is Dave Radio with Radio Dave on the radio. We are broadcasting live on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming on the World Wide Web at CITR.ca from our studios underlooking the agora of the Palatial Student Nest on the Musqueam territory of Oaksen, better known to you as the Point Grey campus of the University of British Columbia. On the program today, Piff the Magic Dragon is better known as a Vegas headliner and being the loser of America's Got Talent, but not for his disappearing act. That didn't stop him from testing it out during our phone conversation. He'll be talking about his performance at The Vogue tomorrow night. And art and science come together, as you just heard, at the Collisions Festival, a three-day exhibition showcasing collaborative works by artist-science pairs, and that's happening this weekend at Vivo Media Arts Center. We'll find out all about that in just a minute. Plus, we'll keep you informed on events going on this weekend. We've got our usual call board and lots of local music. It's Vancouver's go-to hour for local independent theater, film, and music, and it starts right now. Don't touch that dial. I've been becoming a fan of the Al Franken podcast, and I noticed that he starts every show with, well, we've got a pretty good show for you today, for a change. I'm kind of, sometimes I feel like I want to take that up as well. But yeah, we do have a pretty good show for you today. So, you know, I got to take a moment to get my guest on the phone. So why don't we listen to some music? This is Alex Little and Suspicious Minds. Actually, no, it's not. That's weird. Seems like all our music. Nope, that's fine. Nope, that's not it either. Let's try it again. All right. Well, whatever this is, let's listen to it. It turns out that was the right song after all. That was Late Night Love by Alex Little and the Suspicious Minds. All right, on the phone right... I'm still eating my muffin here. I got caught up. On the phone right now is Teresa Liao, who is the Community Relations Director of Curiosity Collider. Hi, Teresa.
Hi, David.
Thanks for joining us.
No problem.
Now, Curiosity Collider is the organizing or sponsoring organization behind... I've lost it.
Collisions Festival.
The Collisions Festival, yes.
It's quite a mouthful.
Yes, and I already have a mouthful.
Yeah.
Anyway, as soon as I heard about it, I was fascinated by it because the idea of art and science coming together in one event, it's just not something we think about.
Mm-hmm.
But it really is. There is so many parallels and so much common ground in mm-hmm. art and science that it's almost like, why didn't someone think about this before?
Yeah, and it almost makes sense. Like, yeah. If you think about it, because Way back in the days, if you look at really, like, you know, a lot of the scientists who are actually artists themselves.
Well, and then, you know, my first person that came to my mind was Da Vinci.
Absolutely, yeah. And he's well known for his scientific discoveries, but also for his artistic work.
Yeah.
And somehow along the way, I think we start having the mindset of, like, splitting them. And then what we're trying to do as a Jurassic Collider is really try to bring them back together, where we have opportunity to hear from both scientists and artists, and then create chances for them to work together and be in the same room and talk about the parallel between their practices. Mm-hmm. And it all comes from when we go out and ask people what inspire you to do, you know, scientific related stuff or artistic related stuff, it all comes back to curiosity, really. And that's where our name came from.
Yeah, that's you couldn't have put it better. That's exactly what it is. It's about answering questions. How does this work? What does this look like? Why does this appeal to me? All kinds of things like that, and putting it together like that. So tell me a little bit about the organization Curiosity Collider first. How long has it been around?
Yeah, so it's been around a couple of years. Mm-hmm. I'm actually on our website right now trying to remember how long it has been. 2014, that's our first.
That's 5 years, beginning. Almost six.
Yeah,
now.
It has been. And it really, when we came together, it was one of the other co-founders, Shelley, and I met at a local kind of like a science communication retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a session where we go, okay, tell us about your blue sky idea. And I was basically, you know, talking about the idea behind, you know, what if we can connect with people through art and talk about science, and they all really comes together.
Yeah.
And then somehow Shelley had the same idea, and we ended up talking. So that's the first time we met, and then we started going. We started our first event, and it's called Collider Cafe,
mm-hmm.
And it's still it's a recurring event. It still happens nowadays. And basically, we try to bring people who do work that has it's kind of like a combination of art and science, and we invite them into a cafe, and talk about their work. And we were thinking, okay, if nobody shows up, we'll just stop doing this because obviously nobody cares.
Yeah.
And then it turns out that without a lot of promotion, and it was just like by word of mouth, we have like 30, 40 people show up.
Wow.
We thought that was great. Okay, so let's get going with this. And then we officially got incorporated as a nonprofit organization in 2015. And we have been working on this kind of art and science, bringing art and science back together ever since. Mm-hmm. We have done some performances event. We have done some. We even have a film series recently. And now we're really like Collisions Festival. I think it's the first time we make sure, like, we come together. We put out a theme. This is our inaugural Collisions Festival. We're mm-hmm. hoping to have more in the future. And we really make sure, like, we have an opportunity for people who are already doing work that's combining art and science, but we also bring artists and scientists together and to work together and then to create, you know, new artwork that really speak about how the two subjects really have a lot of connections and parallel. So that's what we've been working on. And obviously, this Collisions Festival is a big, major event for us. It has been a few years in the working. It's always looking for money to put this together. And we make paying artists one of our biggest, one of our mandate, really, because I think as artists, you sometimes go, oh, this, you're doing this for, you know, like, it's just like, you know, like a fun thing you do, like, and people expect artists.
Exposure.
Exactly.
That's what we get paid, like, and we get paid in exposure.
Absolutely. And what we make sure is that we actually got funding and we have a mandate to make sure that the artists are paid at the standard called Carfax.
Mm-hmm.
So all the artists participating in the show are actually being paid for having their piece there. And that's what's really important for us. So, mm-hmm. So I'm really looking forward to this. And we're still running our Collider Cafe even since the beginning.
Yeah.
And we have another one coming up in December as well.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the actual teams that you've got for the festival. Now, are these people that you have put together, or have they already been working together, the artist scientist teams?
Right. So it can come either way. We have one team where the artist, when she submitted her proposal, basically go, oh, I have been connected with this person. We met and can I have him as my scientist? And right. we were like, no problem. If you guys already kind of have talked and met, just haven't really done a work together, we're right. so happy to accommodate that. They are other teams that we kind of introduce and put together. So there are three out of all the, so we have 9 pieces in total that will be in this exhibition mm-hmm. Festival. And out of the 3, I think one is kind of like brought their collaboration, and the other 2 we kind of introduce and find a way to make the introduction.
Okay.
As an artist, sometimes when you send out an email, it's like, who do I send an email out if I want to collaborate?
Yeah.
Where if as a nonprofit organization, it's a lot easier for us to find connections and to actually introduce people. So that's kind of like the middle person role that we try to play to make that a lot more straightforward to people who want to work together. So out of the 3 pieces we have, do you want me to cover what those pieces?
Well, yeah, let's talk about specifically what we're,
sure.
what we'll see. Like the first one on the list really intrigued me because it's a musician, a composer who yes. has created a piece of music from the DNA of plants.
Yes. Yeah. So Lara and Scott worked together on this piece called Flora Song Number 1 in C Major. Mm-hmm. What Lara has done with Scott is actually from a local another local nonprofit called Open Science Network, and they run a community lab where people can go in and learn about how those scientific, you know, like we think about DNA extraction, how does it work? So that people can go in every day, like every one of us can go in and check out, like learn, sign up for a workshop and learn how things work. They got paired up together. And what Lara did was actually learned the process of DNA extraction.
Mm-hmm.
And then they send the DNA extracted from local invasive plants to for sequence. And basically they get a call back. That says this is the DNA sequence of this plant.
Right.
And based on that code, Lara actually put together musical notes. And that musical note will actually be on display. And then she actually handcrafted this big wooden, I was told it's a Glockenspiel style handcrafted music box
mm-hmm.
where you can actually, in this festival, while we focus on a lot of interactive stuff, so you can actually crank the music yourself.
Yes.
And you will see the notes being like knocked down and it actually is like music coming out, and that music is based on DNA sequence of the invasive plant.
Well, the DNA sequence itself, it's based on a 4-letter combination of
C G A T.
That's right. Right.
Yes.
So did she take those 4 notes and then compose on that, or
she took those notes and I actually have to go in. Actually, I'm really looking forward to it because she was just putting that music box together on site yesterday. And I was like, I didn't get a chance, but I think I'm going to, tonight at the reception, I'm going to go up and then be like actually cranking myself and then go like, what kind of notes is creating?
Yeah.
It's actually, I feel like there is more subtlety there because I know that there is definitely more than 4 notes.
Yeah,
because it was a big music box, so I'm really looking forward to seeing what kind of artistic interpretation she created based off the sequence.
And you've also got another interactive thing, a puzzle painting.
Yes, yes. So Z Luis is a local artist. She has actually participated in the Eastside Cultural Crawl for many years. So if you've been to the crawl, you might have come by her work. And Linda is actually a PhD student at UBC.
Mm-hmm.
So they work together on this puzzle. If you think of, like, usually it's like, you know, like those puzzles that you take home, it's like the 9 square pieces and you remove one and you start like moving things around and
putting
things back together. So it's a bit like that, but it's a lot bigger. And what we realized yesterday is the puzzle is really hard, which is great because that tells you about the complexity of how inside, you know, us, like the microbial colonies actually interact and communicate, and it's a complicated system.
Yeah.
And it's a puzzle where you can actually, it's almost like tiles, and you can actually play with it.
See, that one appeals to me because by profession, I'm a massage therapist. So anything about how the body works fascinates me.
So it should be fascinating. And I know that Z actually go into Linda's lab and talk to all Linda's lab mates, and then they actually talk about, you know, how things work in your body and how when something goes wrong, and that's the thing of the festival is invasive systems.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about when something is invasive,
right?
When something goes wrong, like what does your body, you know, respond to it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so So, and in keeping with that invasive theme, the third collaboration is all about plastic.
Yes. So the third one is by Kat Waddell and Garth Converton. And unfortunately, Garth cannot join us tonight at the reception. And Garth is, I believe he's traveling, I think. But Kat has this, has been doing a lot of projection sculptures. The last work that we actually had it in our, one of our previous show is actually a, something about, you know, particle physics. But in this particular case today, it's a new work that's called Polymer Legacy. And it's Kat actually going to Garth's lab, kind of figure out how microplastic studies research are being done and actually documented the process and then put together this big, like I saw it in person yesterday, and it was a big, like, you don't realize how plastic pollution affects you until you go there and you look at this piece and you're like, that's a lot of plastic bags, and a lot of plastic bottles. And then she constructed a sculpture, and out of that, like a pretty immersive sculpture. And then there's a projection of the work that Garth has done projected onto the sculpture. So it's quite a large piece, and it's quite, really has an impact. Even when I was there yesterday when we were setting up, has an impact on you as to going like, whoa, that's a lot of plastic that we generate. And that's what we focus on, is a lot of like interactions and a lot of like visual interactive and you know, installation, multimedia installation work.
Yeah. It reminds me of a routine that George Carlin used to do about how plastic is so pervasive in the world. It's almost as if the Earth created humanity to develop plastic.
It's everywhere, really. You know? and that speaks a lot about, you know, the invasiveness of plastic,
taking over. So that's the three collaborative pieces. And then you've got six others, six other artists that are involved as well. And it's all going on at the new Vivo Center at Broadway and Kaslow.
Yes. Yeah. So the Vivo Media Arts Center, we actually did some events there in the past, and they recently renovated and such a new amazing space for this exhibition.
Yeah.
I just want to pull out some highlights from that six pieces.
Yeah.
We actually have one person, Joanne. Joanne's bringing her robotic arm. And what Joanne does is actually she coded for the arm to actually paint abstract paintings. And then working together with artificial intelligence, Joanne and the AI actually try to curate which abstract paintings to show.
Wow.
And it's going to be a process, and she's going to be there actually throughout the weekend, so you can actually talk to her about how the piece works. Mm-hmm. And there is also Katrina, who brought in this very little delicate dry flowers, but it's not just dry flowers. She actually recombined those dry flowers from different species to one special species, like an imaginary species, where the flower doesn't exist in reality, but you can see it. And then she has this whole scientific background about, in an imaginary world, how these flowers would be in the desert or in some special environment, how they adapt to it, and what their names are. So she went really like into the details. And then we have Edzu, who is going to perform, who is a sound artist, and her work specifically is about how, and she's an indigenous artist, and she was talking about the effects of colonial inheritance, and how the invasive system of capitalism, colonialism, and how that affect really the native hunters, and how they tabulate, like figure out why the moose population is dropping in the area, and how there is like this a little bit of a how the number, the experience they feel, and how some data doesn't reconcile. So trying to figure out what's the gap there and how to, you know, reestablish that communication is something that we are also looking at. It's not just going beyond, a little bit beyond, like just biologically or scientifically, data wise, but also talking about cultural and talking about the effect of, you know, coming into the space and coming into the ecologically coming into the area and causing the damage to the area in the population of a species. So so there are quite a few, and then there's also, we have like also some work by Chris Dunnett, and we have some photography by Christian. Mm-hmm. And then there's the last one is a installation by contemporary artist Twyla, who actually is It's talking about invasiveness in the office environment where your technology is coming at you, and there's a technology waste generated when you have an abandoned, you know, computer, and they come imagining it becoming a living piece and have organic force coming out of it, and it's quite impressive. Sorry, I'm taking so long because I'm
No. There's so much to talk about. It's fascinating.
So excited about this exhibition. So
and then aside from the exhibits that we're talking about, there's also workshops. There's interactive things. There's tours.
Yeah.
It's a 3-day event, but you know, there's a lot to do. You'll want to be there
Absolutely.
All 3 days. Yeah.
And tonight's the reception, and obviously that's an opportunity to meet all the artists and scientists at the Vivo Media Art Center. On Saturday and Sunday, we have the curator's talk at 3:15 each day.
Yeah.
And then we have a guided discussion from 4 to 4:45 talking about, you know, how the invasive systems are in our, like, in basically that surrounds us, and talking about how our interactions with all the invasive systems. We actually also run a data sonification workshop run by Laura and Scott.
Mm-hmm.
That workshop is sold out.
Oh, no. I wanted to do that.
People on the wait list. I know. So I'm not taking people on the wait list because, like, I don't know what they think. But if we have a lot of people on the wait list, and I'm thinking that maybe in the future we'll just run a second workshop at
Absolutely.
Some point in the future. But but people are super enthusiastic about this, and I'm really excited about all the conversations and all the ideas that will come from the discussions throughout the weekend, and trying to get people to think about what invasive systems mean to us in general.
Wow. Well, I mean, clearly you're very passionate, very excited about this, and it's infective. It's invasive. Your enthusiasm is invasive. So
that stays with the theme. That works well with the theme.
That's right. So thanks a lot for coming on and talking about
it. No problem.
And
thanks for having me.
If anybody wants to know more about it, where can they go?
Yeah, they can go to our website, curiositycollider.org.
Right.
The website, it should be pretty straightforward to find. But if you just even Google Collisions Festival, it should be pretty easy to find.
Yeah, and we'll put a link on our Facebook page as well.
And we have tickets at the door. So if people just want to show up or bring their friends, like, please do.
Yeah, and if you want to buy tickets in advance, you can get them at eventbrite.ca.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Oh, Teresa Liao, thank you so much for being on and talking about the festival, and we'll see you there.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me, and see you there.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
That someone just like me would save you. Running in circles, your feet had betrayed you. Just because I was the one who unraveled. Thanks for your time and your willing to travel.
There you go. That's Van Cougar from the album Canadian Tuxedo. A song called Unmanned. Well, earlier today, I had the pleasure of having a kind of a, let's say, slightly interrupted conversation with Piff the Magic Dragon, the self-proclaimed loser of America's Got Talent. He's a magician who has been performing in Las Vegas for about the last 5 years, joined by his trusty sidekick, Mr. Piffles, the world's only magic performing chihuahua. Piff showcases his signature mixture of wizardry, wit, and sarcasm that ignites a one-of-a-kind comedy magic show fans will have to see to believe. He earned national acclaim on America's Got Talent and also on Penn & Teller's Fool Us. And then got himself into Vegas and actually got going a friendship with Penn & Teller that he talks a little bit about. Now, what happened with this conversation was we're at UBC, and so you have to go through a whole phone routing system and secret codes and stuff to make a long distance call. So I called Piff's publicist, Amy, and she's in Las Vegas. And she then rerouted the call from me in Vancouver to her in Las Vegas, and then rerouted it to Piff in Vancouver. And then as we went along, all of a sudden the call dropped. And we got this nice dial tone, and then we had to reconnect the call and start the interview again, and then it dropped out again, and then by that time we both kind of got tired of dropping out, so he just gave a little pitch at the end. So it's not the most extensive interview, but it is about it is a few minutes, and he is an entertaining guy. So let's just go with, well, let's start with Penn Jillette.
Gentlemen, lock up your princesses. Stash away your gold. You're just moments away from seeing the world's second most famous magic dragon. He's bouncing around backstage with excitement. He can barely contain himself. So, without any further ado, please welcome to the stage our resident ray of sunshine, the Godzilla of magic, the chief wizard of lizards, the act that puts the reptile in reptile dysfunction. He's a mean green magic machine and the loser on America's Got Talent. Let me hear ya! Piff, 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 piff. Come on, piff, 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 yeah! Piff, piff, piff. We want him. Come on, piff, 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 piff. It's Piff the Magic Dragon!
Well, there he is, the man himself, Piff the Magic Dragon, and he's on the phone. Hi, Piff.
Hello.
Hi.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for coming along. I know absolutely nothing about you. we just sort of connected a couple of days ago with Amy, your publicist. So let's start from the very beginning. Who are you and what do you do?
I am a genuine magic dragon. I live in Las Vegas. I have a show in Las Vegas. And most people know me from America's Got Talent, where I got all the way to the finals. And then I shot my dog out of a cannon, went down in flames, and now the billboards in Las Vegas say, "The loser of America's Got Talent."
What better slogan could you have? I mean, that's publicity gold.
Way?
That's publicity gold right there.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So tell us a little bit about, like, where you. What's your background? What got you interested in magic to begin with? How long have you been doing it?
I've been a magician for like 20 years, I think. But the problem was that when I started, I would always be sarcastic to people and joke around, and everyone just got upset because I've got a resting grumpy face. So they took it too seriously. They were like, "Oh, who is this terrible person?" And then one day I went to a costume party. I went as a dragon. And no one else was in costume. It was just me. It was just me by myself in a dragon outfit, surrounded by all of my friends who were like, "Why are you? What are you wearing?"
Oh my goodness!
And I was like, "You guys are supposed to be in costume," and they're like, "No, we decided that was just too."
What? And we're back.
And we're back.
We were just talking about being the only person in costume at a costume party.
Yeah, I walk in, the only dragon in the room.
Yeah.
And my friend says to me, "Hey, you should do this in your show. You should be Puff the Magic Dragon." I said, "Wait, I could be Piff the Magic Dragon. You might have heard of my older brother, Steve." So I did that, and it was a big hit. Everyone loved it, and apparently, a grumpy guy in a dragon outfit is hilarious.
Who knew?
And then, basically, like all of my, everywhere I was getting fired from before, they rehired me. They decided that this was what they wanted at their
All of a sudden, you became entertaining.
All of a sudden, out of nowhere, I became entertaining. And then I moved to America and went on America's Got Talent.
Well, moved to America. So where are you from originally?
I'm from Southeast London originally. This is not how they sound in Las Vegas.
Is it really?
This is not a genuine Las Vegas accent. This is my Southeast London accent.
Well, when did you move to Las Vegas?
In 2013, I moved to Las Vegas. I was in a show which lost $40 million. but I liked being in Las Vegas so much that I was like, "Hey, I want to do my own show." And I thought, if I go on America's Got Talent, shoot my dog out of the cannon, then maybe I can have the loser of America's Got Talent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What did you do on America's Got Talent that at least got you to the point where you were a finalist?
Well, I think people like the fact that it looked like I didn't really...
didn't really have talent?
care much about being on the show.
Uh-huh.
So, I went on and I, like... I was making sandwiches. I was kissing Heidi Klum. I was doing card tricks and eating bananas. And it appears that that's what the audiences want these days.
Yeah.
They want a very hungry dragon who kisses Heidi Klum.
Mm-hmm. That's the pathway to success.
Yeah.
Yeah. And So was it America's Got Talent that got you to Las Vegas?
It was America's Got Talent that got me famous enough to get a show in Las Vegas, and then we've been there 4 years now, and it's gone from strength to strength. Now it's like sold out almost every day.
Wow!
And then the other great thing about being in Las Vegas is I get to hang out with my friends Penn and Teller, who they have their show at the Rio. And that was like my first break was I was on their show, Penn and Teller Fool Us. I didn't fool them. There's something of a pattern here. But I kind of got adopted by those two, and they've been friends and mentors to me ever since.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your show at the Vogue. What kind of things can the audience expect? Aside from shooting your dog out of a cannon.
Well, I think we did that. We might have done that last time. We were here at the Vogue a couple of years ago for Just for Laughs Festival. And now we're...
And now you're gone again.
So, Mr. Piffle, Jade and I were back with brand new tricks and a few of our old favorites. So if you like Grumpy Dragons doing card tricks, then this is the show for you. And if not, then come for the chihuahua, stay for the dragon.
that I think is worth the price right there. Well, I know you're on your way to Kamloops, so we will wish you good fortune on the trip up there. Have a good show tonight, and then we'll see you at the Vogue tomorrow.
Thank you, Dave.
Great.
See you tomorrow.
So that was Piff, the Magic Dragon. Yeah, that was fun. It's funny, magicians. I've interviewed a couple of other magicians, and maybe it's too early in the morning for them, or you know, they're more animated when they've got apparatus to manipulate rather than just talking on the phone. But you know, Piff is definitely entertaining, and should be a lot of fun. The show is on at the Vogue Theater tomorrow night, November 9th. Vogue Theater, of course, is 918 Granville Street. The show is at, let's see, doors open at 7. Looks like the show's at 8. And check out eventbrite.ca or check out the Facebook page to find out more information about that. As I said, you can get tickets at Eventbrite. You can also get them at Red Cat Records. And Piff the Magic Dragon on stage at the Vogue tomorrow night. Okay, let's see. We played that already. So let's play this. Let's play Frankie.
Yeah. Humbug. A modern adaptation of A Christmas Carol celebrates the downtown Eastside community in its 10th annual and final season. It's the perfect family holiday treat, filled with rock, blues, and Christmas carols. Plus, enjoy live music from a youth choir. Opens December 5th at SFU Woodwards, located at 149 West Hastings Street. For tickets and details, visit sfuwoodwards.ca.
To understand more about fashion, we asked CITR student executive and fashion expert Jonathan Q what fashion means to him.
It's just aesthetically something that's so ostentatious. Typically. It's also, when you say fashion, I think people are talking explicitly about consumerism, as opposed to someone who buys,
If you really want to know more about fashion, come on down to CITR in the Student Union Building of UBC and pick up some of our merchandise à la mode. Nous avons t-shirts, sweatshirts, socks, and coffee mugs.
But it's also very aesthetically gripping.
To keep you styling in support of the station you love. Isn't that right, Jonathan?
Cool. Well, actually, is it? Because, I was going to say because of the cultural vacuum that we exist within, but then, really, fashion today is kind of derived from the European idea of couture, and that's been around for centuries.
I miss Jonathan Q. Time now for the Dave Radio Call Board, featuring auditions, calls for crews, musicians, and other contributors for productions around Metro Vancouver. It's our belief here that auditions announced here should be open here to all artists of all cultural, sexual, gender, ability, and other identities. In fact, we encourage everyone to read for everything. Call for Directors. Vancouver Creator Exchange is an initiative of the Playwrights Guild of Canada, inspired and brought to us by the Dramatists Guild of America. Creator Exchanges are an opportunity for playwrights and directors to talk briefly about what kind of work inspires them, how they like to collaborate artistically, with the purpose being to encourage networking opportunities with other theater practitioners and to forge new working relationships over drinks and snacks. Especially the drinks and snacks. So the Vancouver version is happening on Sunday, November 17th at the Carousel Theatre on Granville Island. Participation is free, but you do need to submit and register. And so you do that by going to playwrightsguild.ca/creator-exchange, and you have until Monday to make your submission. Nominations are now open for the 9th Annual Gina Wilkinson Prize, which is a prize that recognizes an experienced female theater artist who is transitioning from one theater discipline into the area of theater direction. So the nomination should consist of a nomination letter, an acknowledgement by the nominee that they are willing to accept the nomination, and the nominee's resume. If you want to find out more, you can send an email to Gina's Prize. That's GINASPRIZE at gmail.com. And nomination deadline is the 15th of December. United Players of Vancouver are seeking artists and community participants to be a part of The Enemy of the People by after Ibsen. Not by Ibsen, but after Ibsen. This is a new collaborative work under the direction of Jack Patterson, where people are invited to participate in the writing, playing, devising, and creating of this new work. And the commitment will start on the 24th of November with the collaboration creation period, which will then meld into the actual production period, which is in January. And then the performances themselves are January 24th to February 16th. So they're looking for people who have openness, imagination, and a willingness to create. And they're looking to include as many voices as possible, including yours. So if you want to participate, but you're not sure you're the right fit or that that you're not quite sure how to go about it, just send an email to upsubmission@gmail.com. You can go to United Players website to find out all the details on how to submit. And if you want to talk to a human being, Joan Bryans is the person to contact. And you can call her at United Players, which is 604-224-2464. And today is the deadline, so get on it. Smoking Gun Collective is doing Look Back in Anger by John Osborne. This was one of the most famous plays in the English language. If you don't know it, you should. Directed by the smoking man himself, William B. Davis. This is going to be happening next spring in April at Studio 16. They are looking right now for an actor to play the role of Cliff, who is male in his mid-20s. Short, warm, working class, rough but friendly. Ideally with a Welsh accent, but if you can't do the Welsh accent, no, that's not a Welsh. Never mind. You sound British anyway, you know. Harry Secombe, that's a good Welshman. So anyway, if you want to send in your photo, resume, and demo reel and stuff, the email address is davis.fpi@gmail.com, and the deadline for that is next Friday, November the 15th. Langley Players Club are doing Of the Fields Lately by David French. That production's happening in January. The auditions are on Sunday, November 10th, at the Langley Playhouse on 200 Street. And they are looking to cast the role of Ben, who is a male, 18 to 30. So if you want to find out more about that, you can go to Langley Players Drama Club on the web, or you can email the director, Dawn Adamson, and her email is dawada01@telus.net. No Exit Productions are doing Story Robot by Jean-Paul Sartre. This is happening in March at the PAL Theater in Cole Harbour. Auditions are next weekend, November 16th and 17th, at the Alexander Academy, which is at 688 West Hastings. Story Robot is a new innovative company that engages in, you know what, I got things mixed up. Story Robot is the producer. The show itself is called No Exit. That makes more sense. So Story Robot is a new innovative company that engages and supports Vancouver's emerging storytellers. We believe in creating dynamic, emotional, and meaningful art in a variety of forms. They're interested in finding four actors with a strong work ethic and a desire to turn performing into a full-time career. Story Robot welcomes all gender identities, sexual orientations, and ethnicities. And there are four characters. Let's see, one male, two female, 20s to 40s, and a fourth character who could be any age or any gender. So if you want to find out more, you can email contact@story-robot.com. MLT Co. is producing What the Frog, and this is a widely improvised show. They're looking for a highly skilled, very funny actress who is aged from late 20s into their 70s. They're looking for actresses. So they want a lot of female actors and of a wide variety of ages. If you want to find out more about that, the audition is November 16th at Yuck Yuck's Comedy Club. You can send your resume, reel, and all that stuff to Hurrah Talent, HURRAH talent@gmail.com. Vital Spark Productions are doing Cauldron by Barbara Ellison. This is sort of a female-centered view of Shakespeare's Macbeth, and they are casting the male roles now, and they'll be casting the female roles at a later date. So they're looking for men anywhere from 30s to 70s, and especially 50 to 75-year-old guys who want to play the role of Duncan, the Scottish king. You can send your headshot and resume and request an audition time with Joan Bryans again. And you can get her email is j.bryans, B-R-Y-A-N-S, at telus.net. We got Stage 43 in Coquitlam doing The Elephant Man, directed by friend of the show Dale Kelly. His auditions are on the 24th and 25th. The show itself is happening in April out at the Evergreen Cultural Center. And this will be their entry at Theatre BC. So if you're going to participate, you also need to be available for the Theatre BC Zone Festival in May. And then if you get through the Zone Festival, then that will take you to main stage in July. Another friend of the show, Giovanni C., is doing a new play called The Five Vengeances. That he has also written. He has written, writing, and directing it. It's a comic kung fu adaptation of the Jacobean drama The Revengers Tragedy. It's a bloody tale of revenge that will be told in the style of classic 1970s chop socky cinema. So, yeah, you know, if you're familiar with Bruce Lee and the new Quentin Tarantino movie, you'll know exactly what this is all about. There are themes of violence, sexuality, sexual violence, so violence, sex, and sexual violence, and the use of crude language. So if you're comfortable with that, go for it. They're looking for strong actors with advanced skills in stage combat and or martial arts. With over 30 fight sequences, this production will be extremely demanding. So only submit if you are confident in your own physical abilities. So that rules me out right there. If you want to find out more, it's affairofhonor.ca. That's the theater company that's producing The Five Vengeances. Looks like it could be a lot of fun. Mid-20s Theater, another friend of the show, they're doing Light Rapid Transit, which is an original play by Vancouver playwright, whose name I didn't copy down. Okay. they'll have a 13-show run in March, and the auditions are at the end of the month on the 29th and 30th. There's about a dozen characters that they're casting for, mostly 20s and 30s, but there's one character, more of a middle-aged guy. And if you want to find out more, all the details are on VancouverActorsGuide.com and look for Light Rapid Transit. Well, that's it. If you want details on these or other auditions, you can go to VancouverActorsGuide.com or Vancouver Public Library at bvpl.ca. And if you have a notice that you'd like read on the air, you can share it on the Dave Radio Facebook page or email DaveRadioPodcast@hotmail.com. And that's our show. Thanks for spending your lunch hour with us. Remember, if you have a song that needs airplay, a show that needs audience, an audition that needs actors, a class that needs students, or a film shoot that needs background, we're here for you. Send your details to DaveRadioPodcast@hotmail.com, and please like us on Facebook, and you can find us on Instagram and Twitter at CITR Dave Radio. And remember, tonight is opening night of The Price by Arthur Miller at the Jericho Art Center, with sound design by me, your humble host. Stick around. Audrey's up next with Too Dreamy, followed by Beppe Crespin Presents at 2 o'clock, and our very own star on the BC Entertainment Walk of Fame, Nardwuar the Human Serviette, at 3:30. Have they actually planted his star on the sidewalk yet? I looked for it last week. I couldn't find it, but, you know, I'm not very good at that anyway. Anyway, Audrey's up next. I'm gone. I'll be back next week. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Hey, have you ever been curious?